I look around, I see only one visitor, but he's family. My nephew Michael, my hero, believe it. Freshly back from Afghanistan serving our country. And we are grateful for his return. Amen. Well, this is Pursuing a Life of Diligence 2, Bezalel and Aholiab. Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, nothing. My first shot, Doc, at a miniseries that I struck out. Well, before we move on to that, let's do a little review. I gave you man's definition, couple different definitions of diligence. We said it was steady, earnest and energetic effort, persevering application. Another definition was constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaking, persistent exertion of body or mind. And I did notice that in both of those definitions, the word earnest appeared. So being the diligent studier that I am, I decided to look up that definition. Once again, man's definition of earnest: characterized by or proceeding from an intense and serious state of mind, grave and important. So I added it all together and I came up with what I called an RACA amplified definition for diligence, and it reads this way: diligence is a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort to accomplish the gravely important task that is undertaken. So I had you turn to Proverbs 4, so let's do that. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. You brought your Bibles or your electronic devices. And we focused in on verse 23 because when I hear the word diligence, this is the first scripture that comes to mind. You know, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then I read the Amplified Classic version, and it reads like this: keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. So the Amplified added a word, vigilance. So I looked that up, and it means alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. So I added it back into that text, and this is how it reads: keep and guard your heart with a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort, being alertly watchful to avoid danger, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. I thought it was cool. I don't know how many of you enjoyed it, but I did. Again, that was man's definition. But the actual Hebrew words reveal something entirely different. The root term of the word translated diligence has a number of different connotations, church. The most literal connotation is to cut or to sharpen something. Metaphorically, the terms used of sharpness as an attitude, being decisive and intentional. And you'll hear those two adjectives all through this teaching, decisive and intentional. Perhaps the connection is that when you cut something, you've done something very decisive, and in some cases, irreversible. You know, the old cliche, measure twice, cut once. Because when you cut something, it's kind of hard to undo, right? So we said if you are diligent, you act in a decisive, intentional way. We also said that a lack of diligence means a lot of waste and unfulfilled potential. And I left off with this. I said if you are diligent, you live like you mean it. How many of you were here on Daytona Day? Chilly day. For those of you who don't partake in NASCAR, nobody's perfect. When Brother Will Bridges, excuse me, Reverend Will Bridges was here. You remember that? Now, though try as hard as he did, the Holy Spirit just would not allow him to minister and deliver the message that he intended on delivering. And personally, I kind of enjoy that because anybody that comes up here, I mean, I can speak for myself. I spend hours on a message that's going to take me 35 to 40 minutes. Hours. Study. Put the notes together. Read through the notes. Rearrange them because they didn't flow right. Up, up, up. You get up here. The Holy Ghost takes control. You're along for the ride. Why do I bother? But personally, I liked where he was going to go because he said some things that I felt was going to line right up with this message. And I love it when the Holy Ghost confirms what I'm studying. You know, it happens all the time. I'll be studying a message. My notes are already written. The person two or three ahead of me starts using the same scriptures as me. Some people get nervous, not me. That's confirmation. Pastor Jack's used the word diligence in almost every one of his messages. I noticed it, right? It's just the way it works. But before he was placed back on track, he said a few things, and I just want to bring them to your remembrance. The first thing he said was, be thankful for your salvation. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I couldn't wait. I offended people because I was so excited, you know. You got to have what I have, right? That attitude of gratitude is going to be instrumental. It's almost a necessity if we're going to pursue a life of diligence. Amen? Be thankful for your salvation. The next thing he said was be a servant. And that's all we're going to talk about tonight, basically. Another thing he said was don't allow the enemy in. We're going to get there. But the one thing that Brother Will, Reverend Will, said that really piqued my interest was redefine your purpose. Remember him saying that? Redefine your purpose. So I have a question for you tonight. But before we do, when he said redefine your purpose, I started thinking and Brother Denny started talking. Elder Denny, I'm fortunate to sit within earshot of him. Most of the time it's hysterical, but this time he hit it right on the nail. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, because I was thinking it and he quoted it. Hence the difference, elder, deacon, right? Romans chapter 11, verse 29, King James Version says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that's really good. And then I read the New Living Translation. It reads like this. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Of course, I'm me, so I had to read it in the message. The message says, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. That's good. I want to read to you the note from the Dake Annotated Reference Bible. I don't use it very often when I preach, although I consult it, I don't use it, but I really like this. He said, in that verse, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, says, this not only applies to the gifts and callings of Israel, but to any individual whom God calls or gives a gift to. God does not change his mind as if he made a mistake. Men may fail him so that he can't fulfill such callings with them, but when, if ever, they come back to repentance, God holds them to the original obligation to obey him. Did you catch that? God does not change his mind as if he made a mistake. Now listen to the Amplified Classic because they wove it in here. It says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. My question for you tonight is what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Well, Brother Dean, I have no idea. You sure about that? Are you sure about that? And I don't want to step on any toes tonight, but with all due respect, you've got to be kidding me because you're kidding yourself. The Lord has put things on your heart. I know he did. I know he did. He's given you gifts. I know he has. How do you know, Brother Dean? Because you are not here by accident. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, you're not here by accident. Look at somebody else and say, neither am I. The Holy Spirit drew you here, church. The Holy Spirit drew you to this ministry. He may have used a friend or a family member, somebody you met on the street. Maybe you brought your kid to vacation Bible school. But the bottom line is, God wants you here for a reason. You were planted here on purpose. Awfully quiet in this holy church tonight. Many people make the mistake of not growing where they're planted. Say, Dean's not talking about me. I'm not. Seriously, folks, some people come into church and they allow themselves to get offended, upset, angry, etc. I wonder where that comes from. I wonder. Reverend Will said, don't let the enemy in. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to read the whole psalm. No, we're not going to read the whole psalm. Verse 165, church. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Amplified Classic says, offend them or make them stumble. What about getting offended? What about getting upset? And what about getting angry? How can we avoid that? How about this scripture? Keep and guard your heart with a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort, being alertly watchful to avoid danger, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. I think that's a good place to start. That would be diligence, church. God has gifted you with gifts that other people don't have. Okay, I'll say it again. God has gifted you with gifts that other people don't have. Do you think that was an accident? No. He has a purpose. I can assure you this. He did not give you gifts and talents. He didn't birth desires in your heart so you could sit in your assigned seat on Wednesday and Sunday and take up space. It's not why he's there. Not why he gave it to you. What is his purpose? Specifically speaking, you may be the only person to answer that. But his overall reason is to advance his kingdom by winning souls. It's really not that complicated. I want to encourage you tonight to take those things that God laid upon your heart and find your place in the vision of this house. I want you to make that a priority. If you don't already know what that is, ask the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you. Don't be surprised if it's more than just one or two things. I know there are some of us who have been sitting here withholding. Withholding our gifts and our talents for quite some time. Bible students, teachers who haven't been to the pulpit in a long time. Talented vocalists who don't share their gifts with the body. That former Sunday school teachers who decided for one reason or another that it was time to stop. And you know what? Satan's screaming in my ear that it's coming across as a rebuke. Listen, I'm not qualified to rebuke anybody. I'm a deacon. I'm a servant in the house. Okay? Besides that, I have responsibility for one person on the planet. And trust me when I tell you, I got enough problems with that guy. But I'm your brother, church, and listen to me. I want God's best for you. I want God's best for you. So let's see if you remember this. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Timmy must have heard I was preaching, Pastor Jack. That's why he didn't show up tonight. You know that? This message is for you, Tim. No, it's not. It's for me. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 25, verse 14 through 30. I'm going to read it from the NLT, but I'm going to interrupt several times with some notes. Matthew's Gospel 25, verse 14, New Living Translation. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. I want to read the Life Application Study Note for verse 14. It says, Jesus said that before he returns, I'm in the wrong page, excuse me, the master divided the money among his servants according to their abilities. No one received more or less than he could handle. If he failed in his assignment, his excuse could not be that he was overwhelmed. Failure would indicate only laziness or hatred toward the master. The bags of silver represent any kind of resource we are given. God gives us time, gifts, and other resources according to our abilities, and he expects us to invest them wisely until he returns. We are responsible to use well what God has given us. The issue is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Jesus is coming back. That would have been a real good place for you to say amen. Let's try that again. Jesus is coming back. We know this is true. Does this mean we must quit our jobs in order to serve God? No. It means we are to use our time, talents, and treasures diligently in order to serve God completely in whatever we do. For a few people, this may mean changing professions. For most of us, it means doing our daily work out of love for God. Verse 22. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Verse 24. The servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they that will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This last man was only thinking of himself. He hoped to play it safe and protect himself from his hard master, but he was judged for his self-centeredness. We must not make excuses to avoid doing what God tells us to do. If God is truly our master, we must obey willingly. Our time, abilities, and money aren't ours in the first place. We are caretakers, right, Elder Vish? We are stewards, not owners. When we ignore, squander, or abuse what we are given, we are rebellious and deserve to be punished. This parable describes the consequences of two attitudes towards Christ's return. The person who diligently prepares for it by investing his or her time and talents to serve God will be rewarded. The person who has no heart for the work of the kingdom will be punished. God rewards faithfulness. Say that. God rewards faithfulness. Those who bear no fruit for God's kingdom cannot expect to be treated the same as those who are faithful. So let me say it again, church. I'm your brother. I want God's best for you. My desire is to encourage, never rebuke. Amen? So it's been a little while. How about Bezalel and Aholiab? Still nothing? Pardon me? You don't know what that means. About the only folks I thought who might have known is our pastor and maybe our elders. But you know, somebody knows. Thank you. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. We'll find out who this is. Exodus chapter 31. Your Bibles, I know, are probably worn out from reading Exodus. It's plastered all over your refrigerator at home. Exodus 31, I'm going to read the first 11 verses from the New Living Translation. Are you ready? Exodus chapter 31, give you time to pull those pages apart, I'm probably sticking. Verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, who's speaking here? The Lord is. He says, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. I was reading, I was just waiting to see that he was skilled in cardboard and tape and box cutters, because then they would be talking about Pastor Jack, right? He is a master craftsman at cardboard. Anybody who's been to our VBSs knows this place has been transformed into everything from pirate ships to castles. You name it, a man can do it with cardboard. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and I have personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all things I have commanded you to make. Now listen to this list God lays out. The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstands with all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the beautifully stitched garments, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his son to wear as they minister as priests, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place. And it says, the craftsman must make everything as I have commanded you. Skip over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. We'll cut in at verse 4. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Fine linen and goat hair for cloth. Tanned ram skins and fine goatskin leather. Acacia wood. Olive for the lamps. Spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense. Onyx stones and other gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. And verse 10 says, come all of you who are gifted craftsmen. Construct everything that the Lord has commanded. The Life Application Study Note says, Moses asked people with various abilities to help with the tabernacle. Every one of God's people has been given special abilities. Every one of God's people has been given special abilities. Say, that includes me. We are responsible to develop these abilities, even ones not considered religious, and to use them for God's glory. We can become skilled through study, by watching others, and through practice. Work on your skills or abilities that could help your church or community. Skip down to verse 20, church. So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat hair for cloth, and tanned ram skins and fine goatskin leather. Sound familiar? And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord, and those who had acacia wood brought it for the project. Now look down to verse 30. Then Moses told the people of Israel, the Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers of blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth, and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and designers. The Lord has gifted Bezalel, Aholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded. Excuse me. Chapters 36 through most of chapter 38 detail the work that was done for the tabernacle, and you can read it on your own. I encourage you to do it because it's pretty remarkable. But I want to wrap up with this. Look to chapter 38, verses 22 and 23. Exodus 38, 22 and 23. Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah, made everything as the Lord had commanded Moses. He was assisted by Aholiab, son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman expert at engraving, designing, and embroidering with blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth. To no person can a higher tribute be paid than this. You have finished the work I gave you to do. Bezalel and his assistant Aholiab had been called, spirit endowed, and commissioned for one work and one work alone. That work was the building of the tabernacle and particularly the furnishings using precious metals and various types of fabric. Neither of these individuals became a celebrity, though, did they? Moses, yes. Bezalel, Aholiab. There's only one person in the sanctuary who knew who that was, including me before I studied it, okay? Fortunately, God does not measure our effectiveness in his kingdom work by how many times we make the headlines in the local media. He does, however, measure our effectiveness on the basis of our full acceptance and implementation of those responsibilities with which he does challenge us. Bezalel and Aholiab are complimented for having completed their assignment. It's so easy to accept responsibility verbally, to make that commitment in the flush of, you know, the original excitement, but too often we don't carry through, do we? Bezalel and Aholiab are not just beginners, they are finishers, and they encourage us to be finishers. Family, I want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is that the Lord has in mind for you, and you know, let not your heart be troubled. God equips those whom he calls. Bezalel and Aholiab were gifted with the talents to carry out every task that was assigned to them. And God gave it to them. Amen? The Lord gave it to them. Guess what? No matter what he's called you to do, he's going to equip you. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for Bezalel and Aholiab, he'll do for me. It's about him. It's not about me, right? Amen. I appreciated what Brother Jack Lydon said when he ministered up here. He said, we all reach different people. Basically, we all reach different people for Jesus, but we don't all run in the same circles. Even though we're family, we're very close. We have some of the same friends, but we all have our own individual circle. There's a reason for that. Amen? We have been gifted to be ministers of reconciliation. If you don't believe me, pick up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start with verse 17. You're a new creation in Christ. You're going to find out that you were called into the ministry of reconciliation, and then keep reading. You'll find out you're an ambassador for Christ, and then you're going to find out what we can tell people. Jesus is a good deal, because nowhere else are you going to exchange your sin for his righteousness. Nowhere. We all have the same message, church, but we all present it in our own unique way based on the gifts and callings that the Lord put upon our life. Amen. One last scripture tonight, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody still okay out there? Awfully quiet tonight. That's okay. Save all your amens for Pastor Jack. I'm serious. He deserves them. Colossians chapter 3. Look to verses 23 and 24, New King James Version. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We are joint heirs. You may have heard this in a recent message or two or five. We're joint heirs with Christ because we are children of the King. We're King's kids, amen? Amen? A diligent person is wholehearted in whatever they do, church. A diligent person is passionate about life. A diligent person will live like they mean it. So be passionate. Do it on purpose and serve the Lord like you mean it, amen? Amen. Amen. I have delivered what I have received, Pastor Jack.